Give the world a smile each day.
Welcome to Words to Encourage, the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church of Grove City, Ohio. Everyone needs encouragement. We all need to be uplifted. With today's encouragement, here's our pastor, Stan Slater.
With a smile, a bright sunny smile.
Welcome to Words to Encourage. This is the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church. We're located in Grove City, Ohio, and I'm Brother Slaybaugh. Well, good Thursday to you. How was church last night? My, we had a marvelous, marvelous service here at Bible Baptist Church. Man, I love Wednesday nights. I enjoy the singing and the music. We're all together as a church family and enjoy studying 1 Timothy together and going over the office of the pastor last night, and just a great, great time together. We are praying for our folks who are gone on the missions trip. They're going into Mexico through Bearing Precious Seed in El Paso, Texas, and trust they're having a fruitful week and a wonderful week, and God's using them in a wonderful way. Lord willing, they'll be coming back on Saturday and joining us here for the services on Sunday. And of course, Sunday will be Father's Day, and I'd like to invite you out to the services. I will not be here this Sunday, but Evangelist Tim Booth will be here, and boy, you love Brother Booth, and our church loves him, and they're looking forward to hearing him on Father's Day morning and evening this year, and that'll be a special treat. Now, if your Bible's close by, I'd like you to go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Familiar verses to you probably. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." I want to talk a little bit today about looking unto Jesus. I believe Paul wrote Hebrews, and I believe he is used by the Lord here to convince the Jews that Jesus Christ is better. He's better than the angels, better than the prophets, better than the sacrifices, better than the ceremonies, better than the rituals. Jesus Christ was God's sacrifice for sin once for all. You have that Hebrews 10 and Hebrews 11 and Hebrews 12. And what we see in those is a progress in the Christian life. In Hebrews 10, we see the law. In Hebrews 11, we see faith. And in Hebrews 12, we see Jesus. Now, in chapter 10, in verses 11 and 12, we read this: "And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Jesus Christ, after he had one offering for sins, sat down at the right hand of God. The priest would offer bulls and goats and lambs for a sacrifice for sin. And people today want to offer Hail Marys, Our Fathers, rosaries, but they never take away sin. Why? Only Jesus Christ can take away sin. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can take away your sin. Listen, you have to, that's the price God requires. If we wanted to rent a room for our banquet, for a missions conference, and they say, okay, it's $1,000, and then the time comes, they say, we want your check to pay for the room, and I say, well, how about if we just offer to clean up the room instead of the money? Well, no, that's not going to work. Well, okay, we'll just paint the room. Well, no, that's not going to work either. How about if you just pay for the room? Well, no, what about if we just pray every day for you? No, they're not going to accept that. Why? The payment's $1,000. And when God says we owe a penalty for sin, and that penalty is suffering and being in torment in hell, how can we think that, okay, God, I'll go to church. Is that okay? Will that pay for my sin debt? God says no. Okay, God, I'll get baptized. Will that take care of it? No. Okay, God, I'll try to live better and turn over a new leaf. Is that okay? No. No, we owe death and hell. So Jesus came and paid that penalty for us. That payment was made on Calvary. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took my place. He took your place. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, that's Jesus, the iniquity of us all. God put it on him. I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. I should have hung on that cross in disgrace. But Jesus, God's Son, took my place. That's salvation. So we see salvation here, but I also see growth. Further down in chapter 10, in verse 24 and 25, the Bible says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." So that's growth. That's me growing in my faith. As we get closer to the Lord's return, we ought to be in church more. We ought to be together more. We ought to be exhorting one another more. You need church to grow. You need fellowship to grow. A decision to be faithful to church will change your life. That is your decision to go forward in your Christian growth. You don't draw back. Churchill, listen, it was at church where I got saved. It's church where I got baptized. It was church where I heard about tithing. Church where I heard about faithfulness. Church where I heard about the love of God. It was church where I could serve God. It was church where I heard the songs of God. It was church where I learned to witness to others for God. It was church where I heard about the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It was church where I learned to read the Bible every day. And it was church where I heard I need to pray every day. It was at church where I met my wife. It was at church where I got married. It was at church where we dedicated our children. It was at church where I was called to preach. It was at church where I surrendered my life to Christ. My friend, you want to grow? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. So I see in chapter 10, salvation and growth. But then in chapter 11, we see faith and service. Verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. That we walk by faith and not by sight. We know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so, as we read about other people's faith, and that's what Hebrews 11 is all about. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. Offered up Isaac. And by faith, he obeyed. And by faith, Enoch. And by faith, Moses. And by faith, Joseph. And by faith, Jacob. And on and on and on. Faith does something. Faith works. Faith and service go together. All of them. I want to imitate them. I want to be like them. You say that, well, there's a problem in there. Didn't Noah end up getting drunk? Didn't Abraham lie? Didn't Moses kill somebody? Didn't Samson lust after women? Yeah, you know what? They were people just like we are. These are not just great people with faith in God. No, these were normal people with a great faith in God. And we are just normal people. It said of Elijah that he was a man subject to like passions as we are. So he is like us. And so these men were just like us. These women were like us. And listen, but they had a great faith. They had faith in a great God. That's what it takes. We're all flesh. We don't just follow them. We end up in a ditch. I'll just end up serving for a while if I keep my eyes on man. See, I can't follow. These are good examples, but I realize I'm not following them. What am I doing? I'm getting number 3. Chapter 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There's maturity and example. There's a race set before us. No two races are exactly alike. It reminds us that each of us have sins and weights that we have to lay aside. There are weights, things that we have in our life that are not necessarily sinful, but they hinder us from running our race. They hinder us from doing our best for Christ. My friend, we have to do something with those. We lay them aside. And we lay aside the sin. That sin is unbelief. And we keep our eyes looking unto Jesus. One of the great things about the Christian life is you don't have to look at other runners. You keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and he's the finisher of our faith. So he's our example. So I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. A couple things to remember here. You keep looking unto Jesus when things are good. Boy, Peter was walking on the water, and it was great, wasn't it? But when he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. So could I help you? Keep looking unto Jesus even when the bills are paid. Keep looking unto Jesus even when your health is good. Keep looking unto Jesus even when the job's going great. Keep looking unto Jesus when the church is growing. Keep looking unto Jesus when the bus is full. Keep looking unto Jesus when everything's going well. The rule of driving is keep your eyes on the road. If you take your eyes off the road, you crash. I waved one time my senior year. I'm pulling out of a restaurant, and I'm going down the left lane of the four-lane highway there, and I see Tom Larson, a friend I played basketball with the year before. He went off to college, and he's walking down the street with his mom, and I roll my window down, and I look over to him, and I say, "Hey, Tom!" And I call out to him. At about that time, crunch. There's a red light, and all the other cars stopped, but I'm not watching the road. I'm watching Tom, and he's watching me rear end the guy in front of me. Why? How'd that happen? Why did I crash? I got my eyes off where they're supposed to be. And then bad things happen. And bad things will happen to you when you get your eyes off of Jesus and you get them on other people. Number two, keep looking when you feel pressure. We all run the race, and sometimes we get to thinking we're in competition with each other, but we're not. Hey, you should run this way. Hey, you ought to be doing this. Hey, I'm passing you. No, 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 no. Keep looking unto Jesus. See, the race is not to who can pass somebody else. The race is not to who can run better. The race is not the one who has better technique. The race is who can stay close to Jesus. Who can run and keep their eyes on Jesus? Number three, keep looking unto Jesus when another runner falls. Sadly, as you run this Christian race, you're going to see some stumble and fall. And they may have been ahead of you. But don't look at them. Keep looking unto Jesus. I know it's natural to look at the fallen runner, just like when there's a wreck on the highway and everybody, what they call rubbernecks. Oh, it'd be easy to get our eyes on Demas, who hath forsaken me, having loved the present world. Or Alexander the coppersmith, who had done me much harm. But listen, Don't look at the fallen. Look at Jesus. And if you are one of the fallen, don't look at yourself. Get up and get your eyes back on Jesus. The idea would be to focus on yourself. Don't do that. Keep your eyes on Him. And number four, the great thing is we have to keep looking until we're finished. Well, how long do I keep my eyes on Jesus? How long do I have to keep focused on Him? Till you get to heaven and you see Him face to face. And Lord willing, we'll hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Get saved. Begin to grow. Walk by faith. Begin to serve. And then you mature and you get your eyes on Jesus. And the longer you serve Him, the sweeter He grows. And the longer you serve Him, the more clearly you begin to see Him. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Fanny Crosby, who was blinded at just 6 weeks of age by the mistake of a doctor, penned these words: "When my life's work is ended, and I cross the swelling tide, and the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and His smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the print of the nails in His hands." Keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I hope that's been a blessing to you today. I'm going to keep my eyes on Him today. I hope you'll keep your eyes on Him today for salvation and growth, for faith and for service and for maturity and for our example. Looking unto Jesus. Have a wonderful Thursday, everybody. I look forward to being with you again here on the radio tomorrow, and that'll be RU Fridays. We'll say more about that then. Until then, this is Brother Slayball reminding you, be good to everyone, because everyone's having a tough time.
Thank you for listening today. If this broadcast was an encouragement to you, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us by email at pastor@bbcgrovecity.org, or you can call us at area code 614-875-2190. We invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church at 2758 Home Road in Grove City, Ohio. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for the morning worship service. We meet back together at 5:30 for our evening service and on Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. We also host the RU Recovery Ministry, a faith-based recovery program bringing transformation to hurting people in our community. We meet every Friday at 7 o'clock in the evening. You can find more information at our website about this and other ministries of Bible Baptist Church at bbcgrovecity.org. We hope that today these were truly words to encourage. Words to Encourage is paid for by the generous members and supporters of the Bible Baptist Church in Grove City, Ohio.